Hello, Stuart and Jodie here again, and happy Pentecost. A strange Pentecost when we can't gather together to celebrate the birthday of the church, but we're just in our homes by ourselves. But it is what it is. Without further ado, I'll hand over to Jodie, and she's going to give us the reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1 through to 21.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How then is that each of us hears them in our native languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Amen. Let us pray. Father God, as on the first Pentecost you poured out your Holy Spirit upon the fledgling church community, pour out your Holy Spirit afresh upon us as we reflect upon your word and see what it means to us in the context and lives which you're living at the moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I usually love Pentecost. I think it's a very underrated feast day, because without it, we wouldn't have the power and the energy to be the church, witnessing to God's love in Christ for all people. We celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Easter, but without Pentecost, there would be no life, there would be no energy of God's life, God's Holy Spirit living in and through us, taking that good news into the wider world. In the previous chapter 1 of Acts, Jesus gives these instructions to his disciples in chapter 1, verse 4, where he says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then in verse 8 he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So they're told to wait in Jerusalem, wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit, which will empower them to be witnesses to Jesus throughout the world. Pentecost as a feast is 50 days after Passover, and originally it was a harvest celebration when they celebrated the first fruits of the harvest, but it also got associated with the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, where it was 50 days after the Exodus when they left Egypt. It was a popular festival where lots of people would have been in Jerusalem. And it says in our reading that they were all together in one place. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. That verse speaks of our pain when we are not all together in one place. We would love to be all together, worshipping together as the church who are the people, but we cannot at present. And it's okay to express that loss, to lament that loss. I don't know how you are feeling as you listen to this recording, but I think for myself, I feel a certain amount of frozen grief that I've done 3 funerals in the past 3 weeks and not really been able to mourn the people who have died. And I need to start processing it. We need to start processing how we feel about this. I feel I could do with a good greet, as they say in Scotland, a good cry. I feel that this grief is clogging up inside me, and I need to pray to God to give me the gift of tears to be able to cry and to weep. And the gift of tears is also a gift of the Holy Spirit. To be honest, it isn't a joyful Pentecost for us at the moment. We're better to be honest with ourselves and honest with God about how we feel. Perhaps we're not feeling too joyful. It's not feeling like a time of celebration when we all gather together and celebrate the birth of the church and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. So instead of being a joyful Pentecost, at least it can be an honest Pentecost. But it should be a prayerful Pentecost. They were all together in the same place praying. And we can do the same. Today is the end of the Thy Kingdom Come initiative, where we are praying across the church globally for our family and friends to come and know the love and Christ, love of Christ for themselves. Have you participated in that this week? Were you involved in praying for your family and friends? Maybe you didn't. Why not start now? If we want our family and our friends to know Jesus, it needs to start there, to start with prayer. And it may take a long time for our family and friends to discover for themselves the love of Jesus. And it may never happen for them on this earth. They may never come to know Jesus because they turn away from him for whatever reasons. But that shouldn't stop us praying for them, desiring for them to know his love for themselves. As well as praying, we're looking at starting an Alpha course online in the next couple of weeks. And we can invite family and friends to participate in that exploration of faith and bring their questions and doubts to the discussions where they explore what they believe and why they believe and who is Jesus, who is God, etc. And we can still invite people to participate on that course, even though we can't visit people at the moment, or we can visit people and sit in their gardens in small groups of less than 6 people. It's not the same in many ways. But we can still offer those invitations to people by phoning them or speaking to them online or through social media or FaceTime or whatever we do. When the Holy Spirit came on that first Pentecost, we see in verse 2 that the Holy Spirit comes as a violent wind. Suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there were tongues of fire in verse 3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So we have images here of wildness, of wind and fire, some things that can't be controlled or tamed, expressing the theophany, the manifestation of the glory of God in and through the Holy Spirit. And in verse 4, it says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other languages, languages that they hadn't learnt. They hadn't gone to language school, or they hadn't been studying these languages. They were given as a gift by the Holy Spirit to communicate to the people that the gospel was for all nations and for all people. What languages do we need to speak in order to communicate the gospel? It may mean learning another language. I spent many years trying to learn Spanish, and my Spanish is quite good, but it's still not perfect. And it does take a long time to master another language, but maybe that's not what we're called to do at the moment. Maybe it's more to do with learning another culture, speaking to a people in a non-jargon, religious-free way about God's love. How do we speak to people who don't come to church, have never been to church, about God's love in a way that they can understand? And that has to take place through our actions towards them, but also the words which we use when communicating with them. And at the moment, we're all learning new languages, new ways of communicating through Zoom, social media, and other forms of communication online. And it's a steep learning curve for some of us. Some of us are more adept at these. Younger people are often better equipped to communicate in these ways than some of us who are a bit longer in the tooth. But we need to learn these ways to communicate with people. In Jerusalem, where they were gathered, it said they all heard about the wonders of God in their own languages. In verse 11, it says, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. The wonders of God, the wonders of Jesus' death and resurrection, and what that means to them. How do we communicate the wonders of God today to people? The people on that first Pentecost were amazed and perplexed. It says in verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Now, that's always a good question to ask. What does this mean? It's better than asking, did this really happen like this? Because that question, a factual question, doesn't change us. But meaning questions change us. What does this mean? What does this mean to us? That changes and transforms our understanding and way of looking at the world. We can see that this empowerment by the Holy Spirit had a dramatic effect on the people, because it says in verse 13, some, however, made fun of them, saying, they have had too much wine. They thought they were drunk, shouting aloud in different languages. Tom Wright, the New Testament scholar, says this: after what's been done to Jesus, you have to be either crazy or drunk to be shouting his name in the streets and pointing accusing fingers at the executioners. Now remember, this is just 50 days after Jesus's crucifixion. Now that's a shorter time than our lockdown period. And they have gone from being frightened behind closed locked doors into bold witnesses pushed out into the street, proclaiming the wonders of God in all the languages to all the people who gathered in Jerusalem. In lockdown, we are more like the scared disciples behind locked doors. But through God, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, God wants to make us bold witnesses. Now, a word of caution here, we're not to put other people's lives at risk when we go out to them and share our faith with them, not respecting social distancing and isolation at the moment. But that doesn't mean we can't still boldly share our faith with others through phoning, through Facebook, through Zoom, through other forms of communication at this time. And then we see the effects of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. In verse 17, it says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." So we see the effects here of the pouring out of the Spirit in the last days, that sons and daughters, both genders, become prophets who speak God's truth, who prophesy his truth into situations and circumstances. And then it says there'll be visions, that they will see new visions, new ways ahead, new ideas, new projects, new ways of communicating. And then it says they will dream dreams. I don't know about you, I've been having quite vivid dreams during this time of lockdown, or I don't always remember the details, but they've been quite colourful in some ways. What are our dreams? Dreams of a new world, dreams of new ways of living, dreams of God's kingdom coming. What have we learned from this time in isolation that we can take into the new normal which we will be facing in the future? Today isn't the Pentecost celebration that we would like. It'd be great to be gathering together and singing songs and hymns of praise to God. I remember one year at Pentecost where the girls from Girls Brigade had the fiery ribbons that they were dancing around with, the ribbons, waving them around. And that's in my idea, in my mind at this time, the wildness of God. It'd be great to gather together to raise our hands in celebration and jubilation at the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we can't do that today. But the good news is that God is not chained. God is not limited. His Holy Spirit can meet us where we are in our homes. He can fill us with his love, with his power, with his presence, as he filled the first disciples. But beware, because if we ask for the infilling of God's Holy Spirit, then that Holy Spirit will push us out to be his messengers in the world, to share his love in word and action with our neighbors. The Holy Spirit's presence in our life changes us, doesn't leave us as we are. It transforms us, that we are filled with his love and joy and communicate that to others. So although physically we can't go out at the moment, we can still be prayed to, filled with his Holy Spirit afresh, that we can be filled with his love, with his peace, with his joy, and we could communicate that to others during these difficult times. So let us pray. Father God, as you poured out your Holy Spirit upon the church on Pentecost 2,000 years ago, more or less, we pray that you will pour out your Spirit afresh upon us and upon your church globally, that we will be empowered with your fire, with your wind, with your life, that you will send us out to communicate that with others, that we will be able to share with others the good news of Jesus's death and resurrection and what that means for each human being, that we are loved, that we are forgiven, that Jesus died in our place, that we may be forgiven and reconciled to you, and that we are already forgiven. Help us to take that message out in the power of your Spirit to those who do not know your love yet, that they can come to know that joy for themselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now going to move into a time of prayers of intercession. And Margaret Williams, one of our church members, is going to pray with us now. And this Sunday is also Baptist Missionary Society's Sunday called Solidarity Sunday, where we remember those throughout the world who are going through the crisis of the, the COVID virus at this time, that we remember and pray for them also.
Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who comes to us in solidarity, weeping with those who weep, rejoicing with those who rejoice. Empower us today to do the same. Come alongside us, we pray, to rescue us from fear and self-pity, so that we may be free to bring such freedom to others. In this time of narrowed opportunities and closed doors, may your Spirit inspire us in a new way and blow our minds as on that day of Pentecost. Stir our imagination to find new ways of being your people. Your Holy Spirit knows nothing of boundaries like church walls or political parties or cultures or creeds. We thank you for the sense of national solidarity that has grown since the onset of this pandemic. And we pray this may continue to grow despite whatever would threaten it. We thank you too for the way countries are working together in the fight against this coronavirus. Especially we pray for the scientific community as they seek to find effective vaccines and treatments. May no ideologies or animosity get in their way. Spirit of Truth, we pray that fake news and harmful information will be speedily zapped. We pray for our medical workers who are daily under enormous pressure, especially emotional, and for all whose mental health is suffering at this time. Holy Spirit of Peace, minister to them. We thank you that your church knows no geographical barriers. May your Spirit of Unity be powerfully at work in your church worldwide to make Jesus known, to physically and materially embody your Spirit of love and compassion. As we are unable to meet together physically, make us more aware of our membership of that universal church to which we belong, that not only stretches round the world, but backwards and forwards in time. Today we're called to pray for BMS World Mission on this Solidarity Sunday. Many of their workers are working in fragile and vulnerable contexts, showing great courage as they respond with compassion to the needs around them. We honour and pray for them now. Many are in this country feeling frustrated at being apart from those they are called to serve and to love. Bless them and make them a blessing as they seek ways to support from afar. We honour and pray for them now. We think of our link missionaries, unable to visit their supporting churches or enjoy all the activities that would delight their children. We know they hope to return to their adopted country, perhaps at the end of June or in July. It seems such a waste, but in your divine economy, we pray this time may be a time of blessing, according to their needs, and that it may ultimately serve your kingdom purposes. We honour and pray for them now. We pray for our Christian partners in countries where the coronavirus is such a threat because of inadequate medical resources or inadequate PPE, or where social distancing is so impossible. We think of the BMS working in Afghanistan, Nepal, Sri Lanka, India, Bangladesh. In Uganda, Chad, Tunisia, Mozambique, in Albania. May they know the overshadowing of your protective wings. We pray for the BMS coronavirus appeal, that enough may be raised to respond to the needs of their partners, to provide medical help, PPE, food relief, mental health support, and so on. Holy Spirit, we experience your presence most often in our weakness and our woundedness. We pray for your filling anew this day and every day, that the kingdom of God may come throughout our world. In the name of Jesus, amen.